That asteroid missed us but got close enough for pictures. Piper reports an improved third quarter. And AirTran pilots have approved a seniority integration plan. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, November 9th, 2011. It probably didn't interrupt your routine yesterday, but asteroid 2005 YU-55 passed closer to Earth than our own moon. Scientists say there were no noticeable gravitational effects on tides or tectonic plates. On Monday, NASA's Deep Space Network antenna in Goldstone, California, captured new radar images of the asteroid when it was still about 860,000 miles away. Although it's in an orbit that regularly brings it near Earth, Venus, and Mars, yesterday's pass at about 202,000 miles is the closest to Earth it's come for at least the last 200 years. Piper Aircraft has been through some turbulence lately in its executive suite, but the plane maker says its aircraft deliveries in the third quarter continued in an updraft. Revenue from new aircraft sales through the end of the third quarter grew to $92.5 million, compared with $77.6 million during the same period last year. That's an increase of more than 19%. Piper delivered 34 aircraft versus 32 last year in Q3 and brought in $35.3 million in revenue, up 25% year-over-year for the quarter. New Piper Interim President and CEO Simon Caldicott commented, quote, "Operational efficiencies, along with matching new aircraft deliveries to a solid understanding of the evolving market, continue to contribute to the company's performance, which exceeds industry trends for turboprop and piston aircraft," unquote. The pilots of AirTran Airways, represented by the Airline Pilots Association, with 94% of the pilot group voting and more than 83% in favor of ratification, have approved a seniority integration agreement with Southwest Airlines. Southwest pilots earlier approved the deal by an almost identical margin. The agreement provides for an integrated pilot seniority list, as well as conditions governing the transition of AirTran pilots to Southwest Airlines. The first AirTran pilots will transition to Southwest in early 2012, with the last expected by the end of 2014. Authorities in New Zealand are placing at least part of the blame for the October 17th crash of a Cessna 172 on cattle on the runway. The pilot, identified by the New Zealand Herald as 59-year-old Ian Douglas Sloan of Tauranga, was carrying two passengers. The passenger in the front seat made a video recording of the landing attempts using his iPhone, which has aided investigators in piecing together what happened. The CAA's preliminary report finds that Sloan was on approach to land at the private airstrip about 2 kilometers south of Arrowtown, but saw cattle on the runway, so he made a low pass to scare the livestock off the strip, then turned around and attempted a downwind landing. Witnesses and the video suggest touchdown didn't come until halfway down the strip, and the aircraft got caught in a crosswind. What followed appears to have been another attempted go-around, which ended in a departure stall. The 172 is said to have hit a mound on an adjacent golf course. Sloan suffered fatal injuries. His passengers were injured but survived. CAA says the investigation will include human factors, which may have influenced decision-making. Officials in St. Clair County, Illinois, are still bullish on Mid-America St. Louis Airport in Belleville, despite operating losses totaling $146 million over the last 13 years. Some critics are calling for the airport to be closed or turned over in its entirety to Scott Air Force Base, with which it shares a taxiway. The Air Force operates the control tower serving both sides of the airport. The county is shifting its promotional efforts for the airport from passenger traffic to a cargo and manufacturing facility, but the group Citizens for Smart Growth says the airport will continue to lose money no matter how much development occurs. The group says it should be shut down entirely or turned over to the Air Force, saving the county $900,000 a year, according to a report in the Belleville News Democrat. But the Air Force doesn't want it, and FAA grants were accepted, which requires its continued operation as a civilian airport. Some are calling for a private consultant to help determine how to proceed. North Bay Produce plans to establish a warehouse and distribution hub at the airport, and Boeing has invested in a sub-assembly plant on the grounds. Still ahead, the deadline is getting close for WAI's 2012 scholarships. A T-34 is down in Florida. And why do NIMBYs buy houses near airports in the first place? You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, November 9th. I'm Paul Platt. Two experienced pilots were fatally injured Saturday in a crash just after takeoff from Wings Field in Williston, Florida. The Levy County Sheriff's Office reports the plane was a 1956 Beechcraft T-34, registered to Ralph Ken Terry from Daytona Beach. The deceased were identified as passenger Ralph Terry, a manager at Yelvington Aviation in Daytona Beach, and pilot Mike Fuller, a retired Northwest Airlines captain from Port Orange. A witness with over 50 years as a pilot reports that as soon as the plane took off, he heard it spit and sputter, then watched it crash into a heavily wooded area just north of the airstrip. The NTSB is investigating. Just a few days remain to apply for one of the many Women in Aviation International scholarships, which will be distributed at WAI's annual conference. For 2012, 68 individual scholarships, valued at a total of $470,431, will be awarded to members. The deadline for submissions is this Monday, November 14th. You must be a WAI member to apply for a scholarship, but you can still join instantly online if you're not a member yet. Scholarships include funds for specific flight training activities, including many type ratings, as well as for academic studies, help in making a midlife career change, and even learning to fly just for fun. Scholarships are available for students, pilots, engineers, and aviation mechanics. You can get details at WAI.org. Fantasy of Flight in Central Florida, which is based on the extensive and meticulously restored aircraft collection of Kermit Weeks, has announced its fifth annual Roar and Soar, described as a signature two-day racing extravaganza, showcasing the finest classic racing machines ever built for land, sea, or air. The all-American-themed family event includes aerial demonstrations, including precision flights featuring a Grumman Duck, a P-51C, and a T-6 Texan. Also featured are classic car slalom competitions, exhibition flybys from sleek vintage race boats, an aerial dogfight by powered paragliders, and a sports showcase featuring skilled motocross riders. There's also a classic boat show and regatta, and classic car show for those seeking something a little tamer. Special Kids Crew children's activities are offered as part of the event. Kids can try their hand at flying their own hot air balloons or hang gliding simulators in Fantasy of Flight's Fun with Flight. Roar and Soar will be held this Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., with gates opening at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Fantasy of Flight is located midway between Orlando and Tampa. Get more details at fantasyofflight.com. If U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood is tearing his hair out over the serial budget impasses in Congress, at least he can take comfort in knowing it's nothing new and nothing personal. Former Transportation Secretary Norm Mineta told The Hill in an interview published Monday that the situation could make a grown man cry. Regarding FAA funding, Mineta observed, quote, "We're working on the 20th plus extension. That's something we really have to get resolved in a long-term bill," unquote. Recent talk on Capitol Hill has anticipated an FAA reauthorization bill of 2 or 4 years and similar terms for highway funding legislation. But Mineta proposes aiming higher, more like 6 years for highways, and something similar for FAA. He adds long-term reliability of funding is crucial to states trying to maintain and improve infrastructure. And finally today, plans by FedEx to step up operations at Piedmont Triad International Airport have NIMBYs up in arms, and there's no denying the company's plans could have a significant impact on their quality of life. WGHP-TV notes that FedEx currently operates 9 to 10 flights daily from the airport known locally as PTI. That could reach 126 per day, and many of those flights would be at night. The High Point, North Carolina City Council, to its credit, is talking not about pointless headbutting with the FAA over jurisdiction, but rather about revising its zoning plans. But that won't be much help to the NIMBYs already living in the noisy neighborhoods. Some want FedEx or the city to buy or move their homes. Piedmont Triad International has been in its current location since 1941. FedEx's plans to make the airport a new mid-Atlantic hub were announced in 1998, and FedEx has always done much of its flying at night. So, why did people who are bothered by airplanes move there? That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.